Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everybody. Well, today is Monday. Thank God it's Monday, August 10th, 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. So because it is Monday, we've got a fantastic broadcast for you today. We're going to be joined by John Bailey, the White Plains Citizenet reporter, publisher, editor, and from 10 to 10:30, and we'll follow him up with Michael Edelman Esquire. He's the national, international analyst pundit, and we're going to share all kinds of thoughts with regard to the president, the elections, and so on and so forth. And then in the last hour, it'll just be you and I, and we'll talk about all things that matter, which is like there's a lawsuit that's taking place with regard to the Yonkers Fire Department. There's legislation that's being presented. There's so much to do. But already John Bailey's on the line, so let's say good morning to him. Good morning, John Bailey. How are you? Great to have you on this morning.
Yes. Good morning from White Plains in New York, USA, where it is 82 and sunny, hot, humid degrees.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's a different, it's a change from the storm that we had last week. But the story is still out with regard to that story. There was rain, and there were storms, and there were tree limbs that came down and wires that were ripped apart, and no service. There was no internet. There was no there's no phone service. Even some of the cell phones weren't functioning. What the hell is going on here? But there was a major response by elected officials, which was fascinating.
Well, there wasn't much response until the weekend, I'll tell you that.
Right, absolutely.
I mean,
they couldn't get
the
anywhere.
Storm is over, but the reality lingers on. Right. The storm is over.
They couldn't reach out to anybody. They didn't have service either.
No. Well, they never met a microphone they wouldn't seek out.
Well, okay.
Yes, but
well,
truly, I mean, this
though,
is amazing
was...
stuff. This is amazing stuff. It is now Monday, almost six complete days, and not everybody is restored. And Paul Finer, Chris Burke, and let's see, the Yorktown supervisor, truly upset. But they're...
Matt Slater.
Yes, that's right. And really, I mean, the number of people that they couldn't get to by Sunday was amazing to me.
And don't forget Harkham, Pete Harkham, and who's the senator, and there's assembly member Tom Abinanti. Everyone's in
an
uproar.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Abinanti. Abinanti called for unplugging them. You put about at a press release. But that's really going to happen. To my way of thinking, this happens all the time. Public Service Commission gave Con Ed a 5% and a 14% rate increase this spring, and none of these guys said anything about it.
Well, I guess the reason this is a change in demeanor is that they realize that by placating Con Ed, it just never stops. They don't do their work. They're not on time. They employ people from out of state when we could do the work here locally, which means the reason for wanting to do it locally is not necessarily just to employ our local people, but there's certainly I'm not averse to that. But why should we wait 5 days for those idiots to show up from Texas or Louisiana or Oklahoma when we need it done now? And we can do it now. You know, in Western
well,
County,
we could
we've
if we
Elm
had
Street.
The staff, but they can
we
pay
do have the staff. Why
yeah,
do you say we don't have the staff? We have the staff. Where's the staff that's missing?
Well, they either refuse to deploy them or they're not
no,
on
they don't.
Staff. Well, no, then they, well, this is a confusion
about.
To me. This is a confusion.
What's the
to
confusion?
Me. If you had the confusion is if they had the number of crews available, sitting and ready and waiting to go out for a major outage, for major outages, they would send them. What they do
no, you're wrong.
Is I...
No, you have the audacity of thinking that they would do the right thing, but they've never done the right thing. When was the last time they did the right thing? We've been at this for 40
they
years.
They have not improved their performance since Hurricane Sandy.
Exactly. So what they do is, let me explain what they do, because I'm not we're not at each other about this issue. The thing is that we've got people who belong to the Teamsters Local 468. These people operate out of Westchester County. They have all sorts of expertise. They could when trees fall down and there isn't a major storm, guess who calls in? Who gets called up? 468, because they've got the staff people who can do it. They can clear the roads. They can clear the trees. They can do all that stuff. So why are we getting people from outside the state when they're here? What's the point?
Pay them less. Pay them less.
But it takes six days to get them here.
Well, of course, but that's what they do.
Nobody should complain. If it costs less, if it costs $1 an hour less, you know what? Let's wait another year. Let's just wait and wallow. Let's not have internet. Let's not have backup systems. Let's just accept it. In other words, so then what are we talking about? Why is Abenanti at arms at wit's end? Why is Harcum at wit's end? Why is Nader Sayers at wit's end? Why? If we're
because
saving money,
people
then
complain.
I guess it's all
people
about
complain.
Money.
They
politicians
complain.
They pay taxes.
Right, and they pay very high.
They pay taxes here. They don't pay taxes in Louisiana or Oklahoma or Texas or Wichita, Kansas, or wherever. So we are paying the freight here. So we expect our people to get paid here too. And would you rather save $50 for the work, even per individual, if you can get it done in a day or two or three sooner?
This emergency reciprocant staffing that is in practice among many utilities is very helpful because it means they do not have to maintain a staff for the major outage events. It's a strategy.
Well, all I can tell you is I think you missed the point. The people who work in Westchester County who have the experience to do all these things are not waiting for a storm to take place. They've got other things to do. But they also have the capacity to know what to do in case of a storm. So that's all we're doing. You could have more than one expertise. You know, you may be an eye doctor, but you could also take care of warts. It's not the end of the world. When you need
it. That's how the coronavirus is being handled. Doctors and nurses are going from one state to another to where the outbreaks are. At least that's the way it was 2 months ago. Now, this is somewhat of a problem when you get overwhelmed and when you don't have enough staff on hand to dispatch.
Well, you know what? You know, I don't know why I keep saying that, but basically, let's
because
just
they
say,
don't. They don't. Why
they
would
do.
They bring
you
in the?
I think they don't. Because you want to believe that they're telling you the truth.
I don't want
not
to believe.
The truth.
I don't want
then
to believe. That's what Con Ed says. That's what Con Ed says. That every time.
Con Ed is lying. Con Ed
well,
is lying.
Well, they may be. Then now that great humanitarian, Andrea Stewart Cousins, tremendous legislative leader in New York State, is going to hold hearings to find out why this happened. Has she been living in a hole for 10 years?
Absolutely. Where do you think she's been living in the last 10 years, if not in a hole?
But I mean, truly, I mean, this is really funny that they're going to have congressional hearings on this. Supposedly,
the
ESC called them in on the carpet, listened and listened and listened, gave them a slap on the wrist fine for their performance the last time around, and gave them a price increase, absolutely, I think, probably wiping out the fine. But,
a few years
you know,
ago, in the borough, Queens, it was a major disaster, and they had a lot of lines down, and they called in different crews from wherever they came in the country. And you know what was so interesting about that? In Queens, they if you lost medication because you lost refrigeration, they reimbursed you. If you lost food, they reimbursed you. Guess what? For the first time ever, Westchester County, because of the disastrous response by Con Ed in Westchester County, now is going to pay for lost medication, such as like diabetes drugs, which cost them thousands of dollars every month. And they lost it. And they didn't seem to care. So you know what? With all that you're talking about, where the staff is more, it's cheaper, no less, in places like wherever they come from. They're not cheaper, even if we paid them more here from our crews, because they'll get it done right away. That's all.
In theory.
The bottom line is, then, okay, well, you know what? If you don't try the theory, then you'll never know. But all I know
well,
is
they
when I
have
to
have
the,
them on
the,
call, then. They have to have them on call.
They do have them on call.
But
you
obviously
take them away
they
from
don't
other
have enough.
Jobs.
But they
no,
don't obviously don't have
it.
Enough. That's the issue here. I mean, these
no, it's not.
People...
They do have enough. You don't know. I called up 456 yesterday, and I spoke to
Well, that's
to
what
Lou
456
Picani.
Says. That's what 456 says. But that's not
well,
what the
employer
says.
Well, you know what?
I've
been here in Con Ed for 20 years, and they've lied.
Yeah.
Every year they
okay.
say it's going to get better.
I agree with you. I think Andrea Stewart Cousins should be made aware of this discrepancy and really query them on this. Why don't you use the local unions that can handle this stuff? That's a good
hey,
question. It's a good general
up.
Question.
She's got the number. Hey, who am I? I don't get paid what she gets paid. Screw her. If she needs information,
right.
let her call.
But I'm just saying that they should prepare a good list
of questions.
I'm sick and
tired of these people who do nothing all these years, sit there and pontificate bullshit, and at the end they fucking charge us money for it. And at the end, we don't have service. We don't have anybody commenting. We don't hear anything from Con Ed. We don't have electricity. We have people who are 100 years old with no air conditioning. Because they don't have priority. There is no backup system. Who the hell are these people? Is it cheaper to have people die on our watch? I'm sorry. If that's the way you look at it, I think you got it all wrong. And you know what? Let's wait for Andrea Stewart Cousins to come up with her
yes,
wonderful findings.
This is her opportunity to redeem herself for losing us Amazon.
She's never redeemed herself before. Why should she redeem herself now?
It's a smooth over job. A congressional, a New York State hearing is a smooth over job to show the people that your representatives are getting to the bottom of the things and they care about you. And we buy it every time.
I don't buy it. I'm sorry, I don't need to
Well,
buy
that's
it.
Because you're intelligent.
Well, you know, that isn't that part of the
you
game?
You want to, but, like, we who have been looking at this for years, we who have been looking at this for years know what these things are all about, and nothing ever changes. Con Ed is never told, point blank, staff up, tell us what you need, and you better have it, and you better prove it. Show us how you put in more crews available to get on the road right away, and for goodness sake, improve communication locally. I mean, good Lord. I mean, I will say this, that the much bigger issue here is how much of the Northeast was wiped out by the failure of Optimum, so that they did not have landline phones, they did not have television communications, and they did not have internet communications. People could not communicate. If you got your news from TV, you couldn't see it.
That's right.
And
you couldn't make a phone call in case of an emergency.
Yes.
How many people
yes.
died because they couldn't get anywhere?
Yes.
Just how many?
I mean, fortunately, everybody needs a cell phone if the internet is going to be so fragile. I mean... my way of thinking.
It's not so fragile.
The big, well, it is. It was out from Tuesday until Saturday.
Fragile because they don't have the backup. There's 72-hour backup panels that are supposed to be installed. Why do you think we pay more than they do in Louisiana? Because we are that involved with the internet. Then what's the point of having an internet if it's never going to function when you need it? I don't need it on a Sunday afternoon while I'm in church.
But no one knew it was out until you couldn't get on and you couldn't get a call through to Optimum to tell them they were out. And you never got a message of any kind except for one that's saying, we're working with local crews, blah, 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 to get this done. About a 30-second announcement, which was changed after about 24 hours. That they changed it to.
But there was
no communication. And not only the big issue really to me is the inability of an entire region of the country to communicate and know what's going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. But then why is it that you said that you heard them say that they're trying to get their local crews together?
It was a recorded announcement. It was a recorded announcement by somebody who has a pea brain who doesn't even know what's going on. Exactly.
Oh, great.
I mean, people can see it. I recorded it and put it on my show this weekend. But the problem here is they blamed it on coordination with local crews, essentially.
Well, they do that every year, John.
Yes, they blame it on the local.
All I'm saying to you is if we've been blaming the fact that we don't have a local crew ready and able to do what needs to be done in case of an emergency, then we should be planning to have one because we can't afford to be down for 6 days and we can't afford the costs involved. It costs more money to supply somebody their diabetes drugs and every other drug that they take because it can't be refrigerated. After 48 hours, it needs to be chucked out the window because it's worthless. So what are we doing?
Well, I am sure that the state Senate and the state assembly in their committee meeting on this will explore all these very specific issues, aren't you?
Oh, I'm sure they will, but they'll come up with nothing because they don't have an ability to deduce what they're hearing. That's all.
Well, it is a key moment. I happen to recall when we were having the big state assessment test flap and the scores declined after they changed the testing, that they never convened a hearing to find out why from the teachers' union and from the company their explanations for why the improved test did not improve scores. They never held that.
They never held hearings on that. They don't have testing.
They defused the testing issue.
Correct, because they know they can get away with it because our politicians are not doing the job. And we, as the people who conceivably can vote, we can't force them to do it. We can't say, you know what, enough is enough. We're not going to pay Con Ed more for doing less. We can pay them
more
if they're going to do the job.
Every price increase they want, they get.
But that's because we've allowed it. Our elected officials allow it because they're in bed with them. Where do you think the money comes from for their reelection if it doesn't come from Con Ed?
Well, a lot of it
Give me a break. It's all connected. It gets silly after a while. If you spend 10 years going through the same crisis over and over and over again with pay increases to Con Ed, approved and approved and approved and approved, and it doesn't get any better, then don't you think we're on the wrong track?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
I think we're on the wrong
track.
So
we need to find a new way.
The answer is to have a ruling that Con Ed cannot pay dividends to stockholders before they beef up their company emergency response infrastructure to levels that can get people to every corner of the county fast working.
You know what? That's
right,
a brilliant idea, and I would subscribe to it, except that I know for sure they're going to say, well, we can't do that because we have a lot of people who depend on the dividend that we pay them, and they're mostly seniors, and some other bullshit story. But the bottom line is, whatever it is that they need to pay for their dividends, they should set aside in order to pay what they need to pay and do the job well. And they could do both.
Well, yes, they have to get an estimate from Con Ed on what they need to staff up, what they need to, communicate appropriately with individual communities. And the problem is the wires go down, and so first thing has to happen is that the road to the wires has to be cleared of trees that may be blocking it. And then Con Ed comes in, diffuses the wires, and repairs.
But we have local people for that.
Yes,
but, we have
but
local
they're not
people
getting there
who can
fast
do
enough.
Trees.
Yes.
They're not being called out because they don't want them. They'd rather
that's a
bring
question.
Them out
that's
from the
question.
Rest of the West Coast. It's not a question. It's their conduct. It's their conduct. They're not going to validate anything. And you know what? I'm not believing the labor union for any reason other than the fact that this has been going on for at least 10, 20 years. So what's changed? Nothing.
Not much.
The union isn't
not
getting
much.
Well, so who could be at fault here? Even if we hope that they're not at fault, Con Ed is at fault. And
if
how
you can't get the job
for
done,
reimbursement?
If you can't get the job done, you're not doing the job.
Well, that's right. So why are they getting pay increases for?
Yeah.
If they can't get it
well,
done.
Well, that's a good question, isn't it?
I don't think it's a good question.
I mean,
I think it's the only issue.
Yeah.
It's not a question.
Yeah, it's just not believable that they got all that price increase last spring after their horrible performance.
Yeah.
Great. Right.
I understand that. So that's a problem. I don't know where this is supposed to go, but if it's going to take 15 years for Andrea Stewart Cousins and whoever else she's going to be having these meetings with, it's pointless.
It is another dog and pony show to show that they're working.
But they're not. You know, working
doesn't
mean coming to a meeting with a cup of coffee and talking and pontificating about BS. And at the end of the day, after you spend hours and hours and conferences after conferences, and you still get nowhere, and we're exactly
and
where we were
you issue
before.
A report. You
yeah.
form a task force, and the task force takes 6 months to report. And then they recommend things, but then they don't exact legislation to force Con Ed
correct.
To do them, or whoever it is.
Well,
I mean, that's
go.
The way this works. The task force is one of the great myths of government.
I don't disagree
it's a show
that that's
force.
The way
that's
it works.
It
I don't disagree that that's the way it works because that's the way it used to work. That doesn't mean that people who have half an intelligent mind are going to accept this into the future. It's too serious.
Yeah,
that's
this
the problem.
Is serious.
It's too serious.
It is serious because last week the whole Northeast was in a big situation where nobody could communicate with one another very well because it's all done by email these days. And,
correct.
And this, and so what happens? It is a very vulnerable moment for a nation.
Absolutely.
I was fascinated that Wall Street continued to go into action. Now, if Wall Street can stay afloat.
They have backup systems.
Yes, right. Well, yeah, where are the backup systems for the grid? Where are they?
Well, the backup systems that they have in Wall Street are generators to power it. They don't need to get anything more from Con Ed. They can operate on their own. Now, that might be a very expensive way. However, the point is that we should have the facilities intact. What are they trying to do? Remember when we couldn't get enough oil so they weren't going to build more, and Con Ed said, no, we weren't going to have that. Then all of a sudden, after a month and a half of consternation, they say, oh, it's okay. Now we found enough oil so that we can actually, or was it gas for housing? All of a sudden, things could change because they lie. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you can't get away with this stuff and get away with it. You know the that the senior living facility, people are 90 to 105 years of age. Mm-hmm. They didn't have air conditioning. There was no backup system. God forbid something happened. How were you going to call the hospital? How are you going to call up ambulance service? What's going on here? You would think we were in a backwoods country.
Well,
talk about
we're getting that
republic.
Way.
Well,
yes, I agree. But I mean, the nursing homes have been for years a very powerful lobby, and they resist efforts to reform them and make them responsible. And the patients are looked at basically as commodities.
Money.
That pay them money.
Well, you know, but if that's the case, though, isn't that what our elected officials are supposed to do? Is it going to hurt them if they decide to do the right thing when it comes to taking care of their parents? It's their parents who are in the senior homes. It's their children who may be in senior homes.
Yeah.
So what, I mean, can we get bought off our own parents, our own children? We can be bought off because of a PR firm or because of these, people are going to send us a couple of bucks for our reelection effort. You could win more support from doing the right thing for the public than you could get even from all these special interest groups. And they're not going to be able to buy the election if we did the right thing. Hey, you know, I still can't get over the fact that Andrea Stewart Cousins didn't want Amazon to come in and invest in New York State. So we lost $25 billion because of her.
Could use that now.
Oh, yeah, we'd be flush. Wouldn't that be interesting?
That $25 billion is part of what COVID has cost us.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's
so
right.
Even if Amazon wasn't right in the mix, you would still be building up towards that, and the state would not be in that bad shape. But, I mean, that was just a major, major problem. I mean, I don't know why she did that.
Also, education was covered because she wanted to, that's all. I guess she wanted to feel her oats as one of the three most powerful people in government. She and Heastie and Governor Cuomo. Wonderful.
Yes.
I'm glad she took a stand. You know, I mean, my respect for her just plummeted a million times over. Because guess what? At the time
it was
when
the
she
wrong
passed
stand.
This legislation, absolutely. You know, what she did was she took her deputy Senate leader and a guy by the name of Michael Giannaris, and she put him on a board of two, and he became the third, and there used to be three on that board, so she made him the third person, and he was the one that said no, and you needed to get full support from all members of the board. So since he didn't vote for it, it died. It's unbelievable. And with that money, this happened before COVID. What was interesting is that money would have been able to allow the state to pay the $4.6 billion they owed to boards of education throughout the state. Those are the IOUs the state owed, and that's what she killed. Unbelievable.
I know. It was a horrible, horrible, politically motivated decision that she didn't think through.
Well, I don't know who she was thinking
or
who influenced her.
I mean, that was something that New York State needed. The city needed it. But be that, it's gone now. It's gone now. And we'll just think, if Amazon had taken that deal and was in the process of putting together a headquarters, they would be very helpful to New York during the COVID crisis. Think of
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
But I mean,
John,
they aren't, so they're gone.
We got to get going. So I want to thank you for a brilliant discussion. Thank you so much. Be
Communication.
Well. Stay healthy.
We have to make sure. Bye-bye.
It's a big C. Bye. Okay, let's bring in, bear with me, let's bring in Michael Edelman. Good morning, Mr. Edelman. How are you?
Good morning, Hezzy. How you doing?
Okay, I'm so excited to talk to you today because there's so much that's going on the political national scope. And it's all up to you, as they say. So I don't understand what's going on with President Trump. All of a sudden, he used to be averse to voting by mail and absentee balloting, and yet he's calling for it. He says it's okay in Florida. How come Florida's okay? Why is
Because if he doesn't allow that kind of voting in Florida, his older supporters that live in the villages and other places, seniors that are Trump supporters who will be afraid to go stand online and get sick, won't be voting. So what he's doing is it's a smoke and mirrors thing. You know, he's trying to prevent Biden voters from voting in certain states, but yet he wants his own supporters to be able to vote in states where he needs them to vote. Florida is a swing state, and he's behind now by 5 or 6 points. And, if he prevents people from going to the poll, if he prevents people from voting by mail, which we, by the way, are going to do as well, he's really stopping his supporters from voting. So it's a catch-22, and there is no fraud. There is no evidence of fraud in mail-in voting anywhere. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to suggest that is a distraction.
Well, there's more distraction. I was shocked. Tucker Carlson, the Fox News commentator, said that 3 black women on Joe Biden's shortlist of potential vice president is, quote, probably illegal. Where the hell did he come up with that one? That blew me away.
Well, I think Tucker Carlson may be under a lot of pressure. I think his job may be on the line because of the way he's conducted himself on television. He's totally pandering to the racist portion of the Trump cult. And there is a portion of his cult that is racist. And they watch Tucker Carlson and they watch Fox, and he may be pandering to them, but that's a statement that's a ridiculous statement. Why would that be illegal? I mean, under what scenario could that be illegal?
I don't know, because does it really matter if they're black women? They're qualified. If they're qualified, they're qualified. Do we judge them by the color of their skin?
What would be the basis
by their
for
gender?
Him saying it's illegal?
That's what I couldn't understand. I was
shocked. If they're over the age of 35, they're American citizens, they're eligible to be vice president.
Exactly, because I don't think they said anything that was illegal about that before.
It's a new chapter. Well, that's what I'm telling you. The guy must be under some pressure from his advertisers, or maybe he's considering moving to another network. Maybe he's about to be fired. There's something very off about saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. What are the prospects of the women? Do we have an idea of when the presidential nominee on the Democratic ticket would consider actually designating one particular woman, for office?
Say that again, Hezzy. Yeah, I didn't pick that up.
Do you think that, the Vice President Biden is the Democratic nominee for president? Is it likely that he'll soon be announcing a woman candidate? And would that be helpful for him to make that announcement?
Well, first of all, he pledged to pick a woman. That's number
yes.
one. So he's not going to break that promise. Number two,
no.
it's going to be a black woman. And the reason it's going to be a black woman is he has to gin up enthusiasm in the Obama coalition, which did not turn out for Hillary Clinton in 2016. Mm-hmm. So he needs to have those people who failed to turn out for Hillary turn out for him.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways to do that is to put a black woman on the ticket as vice president. Now, you've probably seen all the articles about all the black women that are in contention.
Yeah.
Right. Basically, Kamala Harris is leading. Susan Rice is the other possibility. The rest of them are not going to be on the ticket. Val Demings and Karen Bass are not in contention. So I think it's between Susan Rice and I know who I prefer. I prefer
well,
not
you,
having
you
Susan,
mentioned
Susan
Kamala
Rice.
Harris from the
yeah.
You mentioned
right.
Kamala Harris, I think, over a year ago. And,
correct.
And one of the reasons you validated her was because she also Biden knows her well, so they have a relationship, so they don't have
correct.
To start from scratch. Well, who are you and how are you and stuff like that. So they know each other. That's very helpful, isn't it? And you have a partner.
Yes, it is. It goes back a lot of years because when she was Attorney General in California, Joe Biden's son Beau was Attorney General in Delaware. And the family became very close with each other. Joe Biden has a lot of confidence in Kamala Harris. You know, the criticism that was leveled at Harris is that she wanted to be president. Hello? Duh. Yeah, that's not a criticism. Anybody who wants to be president, that's why she was running for president. So what? That makes her even more qualified. That's a stupid criticism. The other criticism was that in the debates, she went up against Biden with that little girl was me, if you remember, that little story about the little girl going to school in California. Yeah, but so what? I mean, that doesn't mean that, that wasn't a terrible Joe Biden story. She just mentioned an incident, and she tried to get the nomination, and then she dropped out and endorsed Joe Biden. That happens all the time in presidential nominating processes. So as far as I'm concerned, she's the best choice. I think Susan Rice brings in too many issues about demasking with Michael Flynn and all of that business. She authorized demasking. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but the right-wing media can make it look like there's something wrong with it. And Benghazi. She went out on television and told the story about the Benghazi raid that was not true. That was simply false.
Right.
So, again, right-wing media will take that and run down the field with it. So I think everything considered, Kamala Harris has got the cleaner baggage. Everybody's got baggage. There's nobody that's not going to have any baggage because if you're in politics, you have baggage. But she's cleaner. She's got a cleaner slate than Susan Rice, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I got to ask you about this. Is it conceivable that the Democrats can pry loose three Republican Senate seats so that they would be able to have the majority not only in the Senate but also the Congress after this particular vote? Or is that like, my God, it's almost like insurmountable?
No, it's very possible. We've got 87 or 88 days left for election. You've got a number of senators that are incumbent Republicans that are in trouble in their reelection bids.
Yeah.
Martha McSally in Arizona is 7 points behind Kelly. That's one. Mm. There's a seat that's gone. Tom Tillis in North Carolina is losing his race by 4 points. Mm. That's a possibility as well. Cory Gardner in Nevada is losing his race. That's three right there. Susan Collins in Maine will get beaten. That's four. That will hand right there, just those four, without talking about anybody else, look like they're going to be Democratic wins. And that will hand the United States Senate over to the Democrats, which is exactly, by the way, what the Republicans deserve in the Senate after not distancing themselves from this horrible president, the nightmare called Donald Trump.
Like right now, for example, the president wants to use executive power to disperse money for people, I guess. But why isn't he doing it through the Senate and the Congress? Is he afraid that they won't pass it? Or there's no agreement between Republicans on this?
He can't. Okay, you have to understand, the legislation is stalled because the two parties can't agree. You've got the Democrats want X amount of money, and the Republicans don't want to give X amount of money. The Democrats want money to go to the schools, the states and the schools, and children's food, among other things. They want $600 in unemployment to continue, and the Republicans are split among themselves as to what to do, so they can't agree. So Trump attempted to go around the legislative process, which is probably unconstitutional, because all money bills have to start in the House. Okay?
Right.
So he doesn't have any authority to spend any money. The House has got the authority. The House and then the Senate, when they get together and have a conference committee bill that's reported out, that's the way to do it. So this is going to be challenged for its constitutionality. And there's no way, particularly this business with Social Security payroll tax, he's going to wreck.
Yeah.
If he suspends Social Security payroll tax, which is the way Social Security is funded, he's going to start on the road to wrecking Social Security Medicare.
Wow. Yeah, he seems to be getting into deeper and deeper mess. It's starting to feel like he's getting desperate for some reason. And I was shocked when I heard the president say that Biden will hurt God. I mean, does this resonate among the people that are part of the Make America Great Again voters?
Absolutely.
What is it that they're latching on to?
Let me explain something to you.
How is Biden going to hurt God?
But let me explain something to you. Bill Barr, Mike Pompeo are Christian radicals.
Okay, I wonder if I lost him. No, he's still there. For some reason, I lost him, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Can you repeat that?
No, I'm here. Yes.
No problem.
I can.
So you said that Barr is like, and others were like Christian radicals?
Barr, Pompeo, and others, not Trump, because Trump's just the vessel, accomplish their goals. Their goal is to make religion and their morality the cornerstone of government in the United States. They don't like secularism. They blame the Democrats for not being unreligious. I call them religionists, which means regardless of whether you're a Catholic, a Jew, or anything else, you want the morality that you glean from your religion to be the cornerstone of the democracy rather than having it be secular. And that's what they're doing,
okay.
And Trump recognizes that, and he's playing to people in the evangelical community that have been willing to overlook his flaws, paying off a porn star, being a criminal, all of the stuff that Donald Trump has done that makes him not a Christian, okay? And they're willing to overlook that. They're willing to overlook that for Supreme Court justices that are against abortion. It's unfortunate. We are the only country in the world that has abortion as a social issue, but we do. And Barr and Pompeo and that whole group of religionists are trying to install the tenets of their morality is opposed to the Constitution of the United States. That's what we're talking about here. That's why you have all these Republican consultants and the Lincoln Project and all the rest of these groups lined up against Donald Trump, because they want to preserve the democratic traditions and they don't want the United States to become a theocracy, as it were.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting back a little bit before, we're talking about the stimulus package and COVID-19. Is it conceivable that the Democrats and the Republicans could stay apart? Or doesn't the economy require them to do something?
Well, when you say the economy requires them to do something, if they can't agree on legislation, the economy can require them to do whatever you think the economy requires them to do. They're not going to agree on it. That's the problem. So they're uh-huh. They're in their partisan corners, okay? And when they're in their partisan corners, they're playing to the base. And that goes for the Democrats as well. I mean, you would think they could get together and compromise. This is not rocket scientists. So instead of spending $3 trillion, you spend $2.2 trillion. And so instead of giving $600, you give $500. There are lots of ways to do this. It's just that they're both playing and pandering to their respective bases, which is not the way the country is supposed to work, by the way.
No. Well, what about this other issue? All of a sudden, out of the blue, New York State Attorney General Trish James, she filed a lawsuit to dissolve the National Rifle Association.
Right.
That must go right deep in the heart of Make America Great Again. Does she have a chance at getting this done?
Well, I'm not sure. I haven't read the papers yet. I know that the head of the NRA, I forget his name, has been spending money on you know, expensive suits and personal stuff that's supposed to be a not-for-profit corporation where, you know, the money is your fiduciary if you're on the board. Wayne LaPierre is his name. You're supposed to be a fiduciary of the money that's contributed, and Wayne LaPierre, you know, let it go to his head that he was the head of this big organization and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on, you know, watches and fine suits and all of this stuff. So she's trying to get to the fraud that was committed, and she's trying to have the NRA no longer in existence in New York, and that will require a number of things. First of all, the NRA is going to have to pay an exorbitant amount of money to defend itself, which is going to drain its ability to contribute to Republican candidates. That's number one. Number two, the fact that Wayne LaPierre used this organization as a personal piggy bank is not going to play well in states where Republicans are running for election both in the House and the Senate. So that's number two. So we'll see how it plays out, but she's certainly tying the hands of the NRA by bringing this lawsuit, and it's about time. So again, just like we're the only country in the world that has abortion as a political, not a religious issue, we are the only country in the world that has guns as a political issue. No other country has the Second Amendment. No other country allows people to carry AK automatic weapons, and you just don't have it. So that's the other issue. That's the other portion of the right-wing constituency in this country that doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, guns are, until recently, were not allowed to be carried individually. That's not in the Constitution. The Second Amendment doesn't give that right. It's been interpreted to give that right by a recent Supreme Court decision. But all the other Supreme Court decisions before that said you don't have a right unilaterally to carry a gun. It was a militia. You were supposed to be able to carry a gun in concert with an active militia, right? That was back in the days when the people were worried about the king putting his military in your house in colonial days.
Right.
So now it doesn't make any sense. But again, the right wing is using that as an issue. You know, you have a right to carry weapons. And so the NRA has been at the forefront of guaranteeing that right and scaring voters into believing the Democrats are going to take the right away. We always had restrictions on guns in this country. And it never, you know, it doesn't make any sense to allow an average citizen to carry a military-grade weapon.
No, not at all. You know, I'm starting to look at the contest. It looked like Trump was a little bit more stable, even though His rhetoric wasn't always, but he seemed to be more stable, and now he seems to be thrashing out.
Yes.
Is he starting to implode now? Is the party not supporting him as well? Is he getting less and less support from the Republican Party? Because they don't believe in what he believes?
You're starting to see the Trump coalition fall apart slowly from the inside. Mitch McConnell has given the word to the Senate candidates who need to distance themselves from Trump that it's okay to do so. The Lincoln Project, they're very good, by the way, at putting together ads that aggravate Donald Trump. So as soon as Donald Trump says something that's incoherent, the other day he was reading a speech and he couldn't pronounce the word Yosemite, which is the name of a national park, and he called it Yosemite.
Wow.
That's you calling me? Are you calling me? So he actually
Yosemite. That's great.
You're actually watching him disintegrate little by little from the inside out, and he knows it. He signed these orders from his club in Bedminster, New Jersey. And during the signing ceremony, he allowed these members of the club with drinks, not wearing masks, to come up and boo the reporters. This is the cult. You have a cult running the United States government right now. And people don't want that. They may be conservative. Well, he's not. But people may be Republican and conservative, but they don't like the idea of an autocrat. They don't like the idea of an authoritarian. They don't like the idea of somebody trashing the Constitution and trashing his own intelligence agencies. They don't want that person in the Oval Office. They view it as a nightmare. And that's why Donald Trump is ahead outside the margin of error in the six battleground states that are necessary to become president. And Trump knows it because his own polls show the same thing.
Well, one thing that I found disturbing while we're going through this crisis with COVID and economic development or sustaining economies, South America has come, is like in the forefront. That used to be the bastion of American influence, or so we said. But now it seems the Chinese are helping out South America and Central America and the Caribbean, and they're helping with medicine and PPEs and masks and stuff like that.
Right.
Why are we losing our way? I never really thought that America was all that much invested anyway south of the border, and I could never understand why. But whatever the case is, as little as we were doing, now we're totally losing them to a country like China that's willing to invest, and we're not. So,
well,
isn't that going to hurt us?
No. South America used to be in our sphere of influence, and now there is no sphere of influence because everything's global. And the Chinese is the number two economy in the world. They may be number one before we know it. And so they want to flex their muscles by, giving aid to these countries in return for loyalty to whatever the Communist Party in China wants. So, yes, we're losing it. We have little or no diplomacy down there. Because Trump, as you know, doesn't believe in the United States being part of the global community. He has been an isolationist president. So whatever influence we did have is no longer at play. And you've got Xi from China, who's using the economic engine that China has to buy influence throughout the world. It's not just Latin America. He's also doing business with Iran.
Yeah. Well, also, what's happening with this whole issue about what's the name of the app that
TikTok?
Oh yeah, TikTok. That the president said, well, if Microsoft wants to buy it, that's fine. Otherwise, he doesn't want them to have access to the American public. Was that technology vulnerable for finding out who it was that was at the other end that was using the system? Was that a breach of some sort of privacy? Is that what? Because I wasn't sure. I don't use TikTok at all, so I never even had
TikTok,
an idea of what
TikTok,
it was like.
You're too old to use TikTok, so am I. The kids use TikTok. They post.
Yes.
It's like an Instagram. They post little short, you know, film videos, singing, dancing, doing tricks, something. But what Trump was worried about, what everybody is worried about, is that the Chinese technology, you know, gets access to everything in your phone. If you put the app on the phone, all of a sudden you can see where you've been, what you, what websites you go on, where you live, where your bank accounts are, and all of that. So I don't have a problem with protecting against Chinese surveillance and intrusion. And if Microsoft wants to buy TikTok, that would take it out of China and make it an American company, and then they wouldn't have that concern. So that's, you know, that makes a lot of sense, frankly.
Okay. So that's where we're going. Are we going to have a fight with China because of their prowess when it comes to computer technology? Because they're advancing very, very quickly.
Well, they stole a lot of our
technology. And it looks like we weren't ready.
Well, you know, look, the Chinese have the ability. Look, why wait to do the research when you can steal it from the United States, right? And pick up 4 or 5 years. And that's what they've done. And it's intellectual property that's being pilfered. So we would be right to contest that. And yes, China is, look, China's got how many, a billion people? They for years and years and years, they were pilfered by Western colonial nations. Now it's their turn. It's their turn to be the leader of the world. And they certainly have the ability economically to do that because of the vast purchasing power that they have, combined purchasing power with everybody in China. And they, you know, they build cities that nobody even goes to. They duplicate cities like Las Vegas. They have a Las Vegas there. Looks just like Las Vegas, except it's in China.
I didn't know that's
what they do. And, you know, the point is, let's not have a war over it. Let's talk about what you want to steal and what we're willing to give you. And let's, you know, try to put a lid on you taking advantage of American technology without doing the appropriate research. But yes, we have more to fear from them economically than Russia. Russia produces nothing.
Yeah. But again, that's the problem too. We don't have the wherewithal to. We don't have the materials so that we can. We don't have the chemicals. You know, they have so much somehow. They have so much that they can use. To smelt this and to smelt that, and they're manufacturing, and we don't have any of that. Can we get our economy back on track? It's going to be different than the way it used to be, but can we become self-sufficient?
Or is that we went through this kind of thing in the late 1800s when we went from an agrarian to an industrial economy. You have displacement of workers. We are becoming a technological-based country, not a manufacturing country. We're never going to get manufacturing jobs back. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to get coal jobs back. And we're not going to get any of the jobs that were outsourced to other countries because labor was cheaper is not coming back to the United States.
So what is America's opportunity? What is
technology?
America's opportunity? Uh-huh.
Well, it's what happens when you give up your manufacturing.
Absolutely.
You become compliant, and you depend on other nations to manufacture. That's one reason we should make sure we don't give up our automobile industry. Because what if you have a war and you can't manufacture vehicles?
Right.
What then? You know. So when our country, when our automobile companies were going broke in the Great Recession. General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, we were absolutely correct in propping them up because if you lose the ability to manufacture a vehicle, you're at an extreme disadvantage globally in terms of the conflict.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Very heavy-duty stuff. Well, there's going to be a lot left over for next week to cover. So, as usual, thank you for it.
Next week, we're going to know who the vice president is.
Yes, so there'll be a lot to talk about with regard to her. So that'll be very, very interesting. You take care of yourselves. Thank you very much,
thanks,
Michael Edelman. What a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Be well. Oh, how exciting. There's always something to talk about with Michael Edelman, and it's always compelling. Oh, and then there's something to look forward to when we have a vice presidential nominee or designee. That will be really huge, truly unbelievable. Well, let's take a quick break, find out what's going on in our neck of the woods, and then we'll move on to some local stuff. So first, let's find out what's going on with the Yonkers Tribune.
The Yonkers Tribune, named Home of the Acid-Tongued Bloggers by the New York Times, is a multifaceted news organization dedicated to keeping the citizens of Yonkers and Westchester informed via the internet and radio. Hezzy Aris is the tireless publisher, editor, and radio host of the Yonkers Tribune. He is a balding, bearded gnome equipped with a digital camera and a steno pad at all times. Hezzy is frequently spotted in local meetings, translating the events into a Baroque prose style with an infusion of well-mannered outrage. The Yonkers Tribune attracts an informed, well-educated, affluent audience who hungers to know more about politics in all its permutations and nuances. Politics, says Hezzy, is our forte. Advertising inquiries are always welcome. Please call Hezzy Aris at 914-562-0834 or send an email to ehezi@hush.com.
Welcome back. You know, the thing that's interesting is that if you want to reach out to the Yonkers Tribune, you can now reach them with one number, the number for their office, the number for the cell, the number to leave a voicemail message, and the number to contact on cell. So that number is, or voicemail. So that number is 347-415-4326. And so 347-415-4326, and hopefully you'll consider doing that. Now let's quickly look and see what else is happening in our neck of the woods. Bear with me a moment here. And, okay, what I want to do is I want to look and see, bear with me a moment here. Okay, I want to go over some news, which I think you'll find interesting. Evidently, a New York firefighter is suing the city of Yonkers for retaliation over a racial slur. And this is written by Kurt Verone. And Kurt Verone has over 40 years of fire service experience and 30 as a practicing attorney licensed in both Rhode Island and Maine. His background includes 29 years as a career firefighter in Providence and retiring as a deputy assistant chief, as well as a volunteer and paid on-call experience. He is the author of two books, Legal Considerations for Fire and Emergency Services, published in 2006, and also Fire Officer's Legal Handbook, published in 2007, and is contributing editor for Firehouse Magazine, writing the Fire Law column. Well, this is what he wrote. A Yonkers firefighter, 5 days without pay for posting a racial slur in social media, has filed suit in federal court. Pending his punishment was retaliation for an earlier complaint he filed against an officer who used a racial slur in his presence. David Daoud filed suit yesterday, but actually that was about like the 6th or so of August. He filed suit in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York, naming the Yonkers Fire Department as the sole defendant. Well, Daoud identifies himself as an Arab in the complaint, according to the complaint. On October 12th of 2018, the plaintiff was assigned to work the day tour at Yonkers Fire Station 13. While the plaintiff was having lunch with his colleagues, including two supervisors, Lieutenants James Callahan and Daniel Keim, one of his colleagues asked the plaintiff how he identified his ethnicity on the entrance exam. The plaintiff responded that he selected Caucasian as he is Middle Eastern, and that was listed under Caucasian. Lieutenant Kahn, his supervisor, immediately responded he should have put down sand nigger. Well, a plaintiff was shocked and appalled by his supervisor's use of a racist slur in front of his colleagues and another supervisor. Lieutenant Kahn went on to say words to the effect that the plaintiff should not be sensitive about his use of the slur because there are firefighters in plaintiff's firehouse who brag about killed Arabs, of having killed Arabs while they were in military service. Upon information and belief, Lieutenant Kahn subsequently went on to relay the incidents to plaintiff's colleagues and supervisors in a way that misrepresented events and damaged plaintiff's reputation by claiming that the plaintiff had instigated an argument with Lieutenant Kahn and had been insubordinate. Well, plaintiff complained to Deputy Chief of Personnel Daniel Flynn about the deeply humiliating discriminatory incident. On or about January 18 of 2019, Callahan told a plaintiff that Kahn was merely, quote, ribbing him, end quote. And in January of 2019, Firefighter Union President Barry McGowan shared a memorandum via text with plaintiff in which Lieutenant Kahn merely received a written reprimand and discipline for his discriminatory actions. On information and belief, instead of investigating the incident promptly and taking appropriate disciplinary action, defendant delayed the investigation and prolonged the disciplinary process in order to allow Kahn to retire with no no discipline as planned in March of 2020. So evidently, on August 27th, 2019, plaintiff was summoned to meet with the Inspector General of Yonkers for an alleged egregious offense on the part of the plaintiff. A complaint against the plaintiff had apparently been lodged 2 to 3 weeks before. Plaintiff was told that he is being investigated for using the slang term nigga, N-I-G-G-A, end quote, on a social media platform. And the complaint against plaintiff was investigated by the Inspector General, who at that time was Inspector General Brendan McGrath. And this is out of the ordinary, since an investigation of an employee of defendant's takes place internally within the fire department. Upon information and belief, the investigation was conducted by the Inspector General rather than internally in retaliation for plaintiff complaining about the discrimination that he had endured. So on or before September 10 of 2019, plaintiff complained that he is being retaliated against. In a notice of discipline dated December 16 of 2019, plaintiff was informed that he would be suspended without pay for 35 days, causing him and his family undue financial hardship. Daoud claims that the city's conduct violated Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 as discrimination and retaliation, violated 42 U.S.C. subsection 1981 as discrimination and retaliation, and violated New York State Executive Law 296 as discrimination and retaliation. And there is a link to the complaint at the bottom of the article. So if you go to the YonkersTribune.com, you'll be able to find it. So unbelievable stuff, as they say. Now, let's quickly take a look. First, let me quickly take a look at what's happening at the Cabot Creamery, and we'll be back.
Hey, you a judge?
Well, sorta. I report on cheese. I don't judge.
Well, I heard on the radio Cabot Cheddar always wins awards for taste.
Well, let me see my notes. Best taste? Check. Best texture? Check. The farm families in Cabot, Vermont have won every major award in the cheese world.
Every award?
Every.
What about the U.S. Cheese Championships?
Cabot's won that many times.
How about the American Cheese Society Contest?
Cabot won it.
World Cheese Championship Award?
Best in class on Cheddar.
Fiery Food Challenge?
Cabot.
International Fancy Food Show?
Cabot rules.
The Stanley Cup?
That's hockey.
Oh.
Look, Cabot's won awards for best sharp, best light, best butter, and best cheddar.
Yeah, but a certain big cheese company's TV ad show, they won an award from judges wearing bright yellow lab coats.
Oh, those are actors.
Not real judges?
Real judges wear white lab coats.
They do.
Look, Cabot is best because they own the company, ship the milk, make the cheese. They won so many times, the real judges even asked one of Cabot's cheesemakers to be a judge.
I don't believe you.
Here, taste.
Hey, I can taste why Cabot's won every award.
You be the judge.
And I get to wear a yellow lab coat.
White lab coat. Check.
The best tasting cheddar on the planet is...
Time and time again.
Cabot Cheddar.
Check.
Welcome back. Well, evidently the Yonkers Federation of Teachers union officials are demanding a critical safety protocol be adopted before the Yonkers schools reopen. This was published on the ACE. Local unions representing educators and school staff in Yonkers Public Schools yesterday or 2 days ago demanded the district coordinate with staff on responsible safety protocols before schools reopen. The comments came in response to an announcement by New York State Governor Andrew M. Cuomo that schools could reopen under current viral infection rates, but that districts need to work to ensure students, parents, and teachers are comfortable with health and safety protocols related to the COVID-19 pandemic. To date, district officials have engaged in virtually no coordination with labor leaders on its reopening plan. Meanwhile, a survey conducted by the district showed that at least 45% of parents surveyed say they are not comfortable with sending their children into school buildings and would prefer remote learning. While Governor Cuomo is right to require districts to coordinate with educational professionals and parents, Yonkers Public School officials refused to share their plans with any of the three unions representing district employees until after it was submitted to the state and posted on their website. And that is completely unacceptable, said Yonkers Federation of Teachers President Samantha Rosado Cireo. Members and the students we serve deserve better than this. We have less than 4 weeks to work things out, and then we will have to consider what our options are. Quote, as we prepare to open schools, all 1,500 CSEA workers play a crucial role in the operation of the school district, from bus monitors transporting our students, nurses, nursing, or rather managing health and detecting COVID-19 symptoms, maintenance staff responsible for cleaning and disinfecting, cafeteria workers preparing and serving food to our 27,000 students and their families. Well, technology department employees supporting online platform and troubleshooting, and school aides and assisting teachers and students with learning both in person and remotely. All discussions must prioritize health and safety of the workforce and students. And to do this, we must be part of the planning and decision-making in determining how schools will open and operate. So said CSEA 9169 President Jelani Turner. Similar to Governor Cuomo's phased approach to reopening New York State, the YFT has proposed a four-phased approach to reopening Yonkers public schools. And once facilities are safe and appropriate protocols are in place, school buildings should reopen again in the following four phases. One, phase one, which is being brought back, prepare classrooms to student bodies. So Cuomo Okay, so let me just see what else there is. Phase two was teachers, students, and families meet each other individually, remotely to assess academics, emotional, and technological needs. And this would also allow opportunities to train students and parents on health and safety protocols and remote learning programs. Phase three, which would take place about a month later, welcome students back into a building of a hybrid model. Phase four, reassess, reevaluate to make adjustments as needed. Yonkers Council of Administration commends Governor Andrew Cuomo. Through his leadership of New York State, we have successfully implemented a four-phase reopening. New York has gone from being the epicenter of the epidemic to now learning use of the lower infected, rather individual uses. Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll have to see what else is happening here. One moment. Okay. Let's just see what we have here. Okay. So I think that that's where we stand at the moment. Let me just quickly look to see if anything else has transpired that is like really urgent for you to know. Well, didn't expect this, but it's actually falling apart. Lebanon's government is on the brink as ministers are quitting. Public anger mounts in blasts and fallout. Lebanon's cabinet faced rising pressure today to step down after a devastating blast that has stirred angry anti-government protests and resignation of several ministers. With the justice minister the latest to go and the finance minister set to quit? Well, the August 4 port warehouse detonation of more than 2,000 tons of ammonium nitrate killed 158 people, injured more than 6,000, and destroyed a swath of the Mediterranean city, compounding months of political and economic meltdown and prompting furious calls for the entire government to resign. Cabinet formed in January with the backing of the powerful Iranian-backed Hezbollah group and its allies was due to meet on Monday, with many ministers wanting to resign, ministerial and political sources, it said. Well, the information and environment ministers quit on Sunday, as well as several lawmakers. The justice minister resigned on Monday, citing the catastrophic explosion, and the entire regime needs to change. It will make no difference if there is a new government. Joe Haddad, an engineer, told Reuters, we need quick elections. Prime Minister Hassan Diab said on Saturday he would request early parliamentary elections. Lebanon's President Michel Aoun had previously said explosive material was stored unsafely for years at the port. He later said the investigation would consider whether the cause was external interference as well as negligence or an accident. Beirut's governor and many foreign workers and truck drivers remained missing and were assumed to be among the casualties. Complicating efforts to identify the victims. So everyone is fed up with the corruption, that's for sure, and it's been known for years, and hopefully they'll be able to get something together. Okay. One second here. one moment. Okay, let's just see what we have here. This is very interesting because I didn't expect this, and actually, but these are studies, so they're never to be expected. A dwarf planet by the name of Ceres, C-E-R-E-S, is an ocean world. That's what a study is saying. The dwarf planet Ceres, long believed to be a barren space rock, is an ocean world with reservoirs of seawater beneath its surface. The results of a major exploration mission showed this today. Ceres is the largest object in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter and has its own gravity, enabling the NASA Dawn spacecraft to capture high-resolution images of its surface. Now a team of scientists from the United States and Europe have analyzed images relayed from the orbiter, captured around 35 kilometers or about 22 miles from the asteroid. They focused on the 20-million-year-old Ocater crater and determined that there is an extensive reservoir of brine beneath its surface. Now, several studies published on Monday in the journal Nature Astronomy, Nature Geosciences, and Nature So several studies published on Monday in the journal Nature Astronomy, Nature Geoscience, and Nature Communications also shed further light on the dwarf planet, which was discovered by Italian polymath Giuseppe Piazzi in 1801. While using infrared imaging, one team discovered the presence of the compound hydrohalite, a material common in sea ice, but which until now had never been observed off of Earth. Maria Cristina De Sanctis, a former from Rome's Istituto Nazionale al Astrofisica, said that hydrophyllite was the clear sign that Sirius was okay. So Maria Cristina De Sanctis from Rome's Istituto Nazionale di Astrofisica said that hydrolite was a clear sign that Ceres used to have seawater. We can now say that Ceres is a sort of ocean world, as are some of Saturn's and Jupiter's moons, she told Agence France Press. The team said that the sail, or rather, okay. All right, so let's see what else is happening. One moment. All right, let's just see what else is happening here. Oh, this is very interesting. Lebanon's Hezbollah leader categorically denies storing arms at Beirut, at the Beirut blast site. Hezbollah chief Hassan Nasrallah on Friday strongly denied that his powerful Shiite movement had stored arms at Beirut's airport, or rather port, describing the cataclysmic explosion there as a major tragedy. He said, "We have nothing to do with the port, not an arms depot, nor a missile depot, nor missiles, nor rifles, nor bombs, nor bullets, nor ammonium nitrate," Nasrallah said in a television or televised speech 3 days after the blast in the Lebanese capital that killed more than 150 people. He called the explosion a major tragedy and humanitarian catastrophe, saying it required a kind of response that would match its exceptional scale. Well, the blast injured about at least 5,000 people, devastated entire districts of the capital, leaving some 300,000 people temporarily homeless. An investigation by authorities have so far led to 21 arrests, as well as travel bans and asset All right, let's just see what else we have here. Actually, I think that that's it. So, let's just check one more time. Okay. All right, so we'll just have to see where all this goes. I think that that's it. I'm looking for more news to share with you today, but evidently there isn't any more. Okay. All right, so we'll just leave it the way it is, and we'll speak to you tomorrow. So I want to thank you for being with us today, and just stay safe, stay sane, and watch out for your neighbor. I guess that's what it's all about. All right, let me move into, just go back to our studio screen. Okay, and we'll say goodbye.